caring for the vulnerable in a totally different context ended up leading them to the path that would eventually result in embryo adoption. Hi, I'm Mark Mellinger. This is the Embryo Adoption Podcast, brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center. And my guests today are Joe and Lauren Brenner, an NEDC embryo adoptive family. By the way, embryodonation.org if you want more information on the NEDC, embryodonation.org. So good to have you two with me today. And I love your story. I remember when we met in person as you were just really starting your journey with us, you guys were a Safe Families Home. And I don't know that everybody knows what that program is, but you shared with me that that's really what started your heart for adoption. So can you start by walking me through that part of the story?
Sure. Yeah. So we did start thinking about adoption. I guess I started probably even before you had that thought. Thought it might be part of our story. Thinking more the traditional route when we first were getting into it. But yeah, Safe Families was something that Lauren found, organization that Lauren found, and really just started us. I think more with growing our heart for that particular community, those children.
Yeah, I would say that was such a stepping stone for us in this journey, where God was helping us to think outside the box, helping us to think about others in a way that we hadn't thought of before, kind of outside of our family. I didn't even realize I was listening to the recent interview for the 20th anniversary, and I didn't understand before how Bethany was such a big part of the NEDC in the beginning, because Safe Families is under Bethany Christian Services, which I don't even think we realized so much in our journey. But it was just really neat. I had this, we were trying to conceive our third child. We didn't know that at the time, but we were trying to get pregnant with her. And it was honestly a little bit of a struggle more than our other two boys. And I just felt like I had this extra capacity, and it didn't really make sense because I had two toddlers. I was very busy. Joe was feeling very,
I didn't have the extra
maxed out with work and all of his responsibilities. So it was a very unique thing that God gave me. It started with a magazine, our local magazine. There was this picture of this beautiful baby. And I was asking God a lot of questions, like, God, why do I have this extra capacity and yet I can't get pregnant? But this baby was so precious, and he was part of a Safe Families hosting. And I read more about it, and the idea intrigued me, and I presented it to Joe, and he had some reservations. We had to pray through that and talk through that. But eventually we had a little boy come into our home, and it just gave us a heart for the vulnerable, a heart for children. And again, helped us think outside the box and help us to really trust God and depend on him and trust his plans, even if they're not our plans. And we just grew in dependence and wanting to obey him through that journey.
Yeah. And for folks who don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, you two, because you would know better than I do, but the Safe Families program, it's different than adoption. It's different than foster care. Correct. These are kids who have homes, but they're in more of a temporal vulnerable situation where, you know, a relative, if they're being raised by a grandma or something, she may have to go into the hospital for a couple weeks of surgery. And so the child needs some place to stay, all kinds of possibilities, but situations like that, where there are temporal needs and kids need homes, Christian families like yourselves welcome them in temporarily, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's always a temporary situation. They're always going back to their caregivers. A lot of single moms and single dads are served through this ministry. So yeah, it's really neat. And we got into it honestly thinking we were helping. And what God did, like he always does, is he showed us how actually he was going to use this situation to change and grow us. And it was so humbling and so neat to watch him work in that way.
And we've now have relationships now with families, mm-hmm. One in particular that has no doubt changed our lives and how we view things through the Safe Families process. It's been, yeah, just completely different than what we thought when we first got in, what we would be doing. So definitely.
Are you talking about a continuing relationship?
Yeah, and that's what the program's really, that's what they are trying to do, mm-hmm. is build community and build relationships that can be ongoing. So yeah, the first little guy we had in our home, we brought him in as a 2.5-year-old, mm-hmm. and he's now 6, and we still have him in our home from time to time when his mom needs, you know, some respite, or she's mm-hmm. just going away for the weekend, or, and he has twin sisters who we have grown to love and know as well. So it's really neat.
You guys are awesome. I love it. And God does call different people to different things. My house is crazy enough. There is, and our kids are grown. There's no way that we would have the capacity to do it. But I love that he calls.
Let me tell you, it is the Lord. It truly is the Lord. Cause like what I said before, I had this capacity. I couldn't explain otherwise. And Joe certainly didn't understand it.
Your honesty is great. So this sort of grows your heart for the vulnerable. I mean, and you know, that's the beauty of any form of adoption. That's the beauty of the gospel, right? We're all vulnerable. We can't do anything to save or help ourselves. And Christ does it for us, the person and work of Christ. You know, when you trust in that, yes, he has done it for you. He's become your pardon and your perfection. So obviously adoption is then a microcosm of the gospel in any form, which is great. We love that Christian witness aspect of it as a Christian organization. So this grows your heart. And of all the adoption routes that you could have chosen, what was it that intrigued you about embryo adoption?
You better start with that one.
So again, we went through this. So we had our third child in the midst of all of that. Mm-hmm. And then my heart just began to grow. And I just thought our family was not complete. And we landed ourselves at a similar situation where Joe wasn't so sure. And mm-hmm. I was very sure. So we had to pray about it a lot. But in the midst of trying to conceive again on our own, I came across embryo adoption through a YouTube video of an adoptive family that had adopted many different ways, but one of the ways was embryo adoption. And listening to that that interview that she did to explain that, just it sat as like a neat idea to me at first, and then that neat idea became a burden that God truly gave me. And it took a lot of courage for me to bring it to Joe, to say like, hey, I found out about this neat thing and I'm not so sure it's just a neat thing. Like, I think maybe God wants to do something here. And again, it was something we had to pray about, and there was a lot of waiting and often some confusion and loneliness on my part because I was so deeply burdened by it. And yet my husband, who I absolutely am going to, you know, respect and submit ultimately to his leading in our family, it was a no-go, you know, at first. So it drew me close to the Lord, and that I just became so dependent on him and his leading. But
I when she brought that idea to me, I still wasn't sure that we were it was even in our, you know, that we should have another child, and any child. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a shock. And I think, you know, and I had always, you know, considered adoption in our future, but I'd never even heard of embryo adoption, to be honest with you, until she brought it to the idea to me. So having kind of all of those feelings and, you know, not being sure we even we're supposed to grow our family took me quite a bit. Prayer, you know, lots of conversations. Then finally, it was about a couple of weeks before our anniversary, and we had an anniversary kind of weekend getaway planned. So we were really looking forward to that, and something just in the way, in my quiet time and prayer, I just started thinking about this differently. The idea that kept coming back to me as I was thinking, praying through this was, this is an opportunity to give life where, we can be a part of this where it might not exist otherwise. And that's honestly the phrase that kept coming to me and I kept coming back to. So after, I didn't say anything the first, couple weeks out, I figured we'll have some time where we can really sit down and talk about this when we go away on this trip. So we did. And that was, honestly, I don't know your feelings of that. That was the time where we really could get ideas out. And I still wasn't completely like, let's go, let's do it. I still had a few conditions that I wanted God to meet before we would completely go down the route. But that trip was really good. And the conversations have led out of it ultimately really, really took us down that path.
Yeah, it was so special to me because it had been a year at this point from the time that I brought him the idea and felt the burden to him. And actually what he did was surprise me with the NEDC's application. We just were having like a quiet moment together, just the two of us. And he brought this application out and you can imagine, I just wept. I was like, Lord, oh my goodness, you have come through in a way like you've made the impossible possible because it was just such a turn in his heart. And it made all of the really hard, confusing, lonely days of just waiting and praying and trusting, it made it all worth it. So
awesome. I love that. And you guys did obviously end up going through the NEDC. Talk about what the process was like. What stands out to you? I think one thing that can be helpful about this podcast is we can ask people, okay, was there something that surprised you about the process? Something that sticks out that you didn't know at the beginning that you think would be helpful to pass along to other people? Why don't you talk about that just in the context of your larger journey with the NEDC?
Yeah, I would say along with all the timing things and waiting on the Lord, that was one of the biggest things for us. We came in at a time when things were starting to kind of boom for you guys. And while people right ahead of us, and I had, listened to the podcast and watched videos and they had gone through the process much quicker. And I had waited for so long and I was just ready to go. So the timeline definitely surprised me, but even in that, we talk about God's sovereignty, because ultimately the embryos that we adopted that we would have our son from were not even donated until a month before. We had already been approved to be matched and were already pursuing other embryos when they were donated. So if everything had worked out quicker, like I wanted, we wouldn't have, our little guy wouldn't have been ready for us yet. So I try to look at the big picture of timing and just know that you guys are operating, of course, as well as you can with what you have. And we're doing things on our end, but ultimately like God's up there moving the chess pieces. And to just learn to trust that and trust the process. If it seems like it's going, maybe for some people it's quicker than they anticipated and they're like, I wasn't ready for that so quick. Or maybe in our case, it's taking a little longer. But just trust that he is truly working all things out because he's going before us.
Yeah, you guys came in, I think we had a period where we were getting people through timeline from application to you're here in Knoxville, Tennessee for your frozen embryo transfer was about 6 months. That was where we were. And you're right. We ended up having more demand, which is a good thing. We love that. Absolutely. But what it certainly also did was tax our staff. We're still a relatively small nonprofit with only so many people to do the work. And we have been able to grow our staff since then, which is good. But yeah, that timeline grew from about 6 months to 8 or 9 months. And I get the disappointment, but I also love what you're saying about God's sovereignty. And okay, you don't have Bowen if you don't have that longer window, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Joe, anything that stood out to you about the process that you'd want to give people a heads up on?
Probably the thing that stands out the most to me was I don't think I ever thought I would have the experience or skills of giving shots as part of that to anybody else, let alone my wife. So that was something to overcome for me. I had a fear of doing that. I hate needles. I hate all of that. Just that whole process. And of course, Lauren and the help from NEDC, we looked up YouTube videos and very discreet ones, but going through that whole process and then how comfortable we were at the end of it and how, you know, we were, yeah, it's just, even that process was something of trust that kind of overcoming fears through this process too.
So yeah, you're a pro at it now, right?
Yeah.
He is. And I come from a nursing background, so, you know, I'm very comfortable giving them, but it was different to have the roles reversed. Mm-hmm. But that grew us closer. Like it was a way for him to contribute to the whole process in a way that he may not have been able to. And I had a friend who went through IVF who gave me this wisdom, because I was already thinking about who else might be able to do that for me, knowing he had a fear, and I would prefer someone with confidence. Mm-hmm. But my very wise friend said, let him do it. Mm-hmm. You know, let him do it. Give him the confidence to do it, because it will be an invaluable part of your whole journey. And that was such wise advice, because she was right. It bonded us and bonded him to Bowen, I think, in a way.
We didn't have that with our other children, because there was nothing like that. I even felt more kind of disconnected in the pregnancy. We've talked about that, but that was, I was directly involved with
sustaining him. Yeah. Yep.
Do you have any tips, Joe, for, let me tell you, you're not the first guy that I've talked to who has been in this situation. I mean, it's tough. Fear can be paralyzing. Do you have any tips for how you got past your fears?
So I've always said the YouTube videos, honestly, were a big step. We do a lot of work around our house and that kind of stuff. And that's, we use YouTube probably more than I should admit on figuring out how to do things.
Absolutely. No, I'm the same way. Fixing a lawnmower, putting in a headlight on a vehicle. I don't know. Trust me. I do the same thing.
Okay. No, that's good to hear. Yeah. But honestly, that was a big step. And then I think again, we practiced for as, even just kind of going through and, all right, this is the location, this is where we're thinking. And, mm-hmm. and we kind of, at some point there was talk of actually putting, Sharpie markers on the locations just to make sure. But yeah, it was, I'd say, you know, YouTube videos and, you know, talk it through before you go through it, and then just have confidence.
Mm-hmm. Repetition is education. And that is an excellent tip for a lot of the guys who are going to be going through this. So we move past that. Describe your pregnancy and ultimately the arrival of your NEDC baby, Bowen.
Yeah. So I think I tried to have realistic expectations with everything, but I think there was something deep in me that thought, okay, like I've been obedient. We've gone through this as God asked us to do. And so somehow maybe this pregnancy would be easy and like carefree. And I had had relatively smooth pregnancies before. But it didn't really end up being that way. It was a more challenging pregnancy in how I felt and my body changing. And then the delivery was harder than I anticipated. And but I look back on it all. And even in the midst of it, I had really, really significant heartburn, which sounds like a small thing. But when it's like every day, all day, it can be really debilitating. And all I can think of is the word dependence. Like, I just really leaned into the Lord, and He truly was my daily bread. And He got me through. And I say all the time, I feel like I struggle with pride sometimes. And God wanted to show me that this was His story. He wanted to make sure there was no wondering about that. That I was not some hero, that this was His story, and He was going to make sure I was fully dependent on Him. And I'm grateful for that now. So you have anything to add?
I think what stands out to me that I wasn't necessarily prepared for, I think, was, you know, we had two embryos that we implanted, and with, you know, going through our first, pregnancy test and then ultrasounds and having one baby surviving, right? Obviously, intellectually, I knew there were two lives there, but going through that process and I don't think I was fully prepared for what it would be like to have that. It's a grieving process, right? It was just something that I was not thinking about before, but then going through those ultrasounds and having that reality, that was even beyond having the thought of twins would be really hard right now, but this is a life, right? I just wasn't prepared for that.
And that was a sweet kindness to the from the Lord for me, honestly, because I was really excited about the possibility of twins, and, you know, more than the excitement of growing our family, like, these are lives, like, we wanted them both to make it. And, cause it's more about them than us and what it does to fulfill us. So I knew going into the ultrasound that I was going to, you know, have some time to grieve if both of them did not make it, but I wasn't really sure how he would land, if he would almost have feelings of relief, not because he didn't want both of them to make it, but just because of the sheer understanding of what two at once meant. And we hadn't done that before. But when we were driving away from that ultrasound appointment, he shared with me how he felt differently than he even imagined he would. And I was just so thankful for the kindness of God in that moment, that Joe saw me, that he had similar feelings, and that we could be united in that. And that, I think that just set the tone for the whole pregnancy, honestly, where we were very united and very much a team. And we just, saw God's vision for this little life we were getting to bring into the world.
Yeah, it's something that couples do need to be prepared for. Even if you do have a successful birth, if it starts out as two and one is lost or it doesn't continue to grow along the way, there is a grieving process there. It's not like it's no big deal. And that's another really, really salient point that I'm glad you two have brought out. I don't think we've talked about that a ton in the podcast on the past. So, thank you. I salute you on that. I think that's going to be extremely helpful for people. So, difficult pregnancy. You give birth to Bowen. He's only a few months old. How has the little guy changed your family?
He is amazing. He brings us so much joy. Of course, the baby stage can be hard. Like, we don't joke around about that. It just can be. But the joys of being a part of his life and the honor that is far outweigh, the difficult times for sure. And like with all of our children, God uses this journey of parenthood to grow us and change us in ways that we can't be completely prepared for. And it's hard sometimes, but it is good. It's a good heart. I say it's a holy heart.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just absolutely adore him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like Lauren said, it's been tough at times with three others under the age of eight. But it's, yeah, just hearing the baby noises and just being around them is uplifting for sure.
Yeah, and the chance to witness to others through his story. Yeah. We don't go out, you know, just telling everybody, but our local community that we asked to pray for us through the journey, they know his story. And we've been able to share with some others, just by simple things like, who does he look like? Yeah. We're like, well, so it's been so fun and to see God working in that way, and how we've been able to share experiences with some other people who are struggling to conceive or just want another option, or just, you know, it's been really neat to see God work already in his short little life. He's influenced and impacted a lot of people.
How much of this do your other kids get? I wanted to talk about that a little bit. I mean, your kids are still really young. They're all at really, really good ages, but ages where you can't really put something like this together. Give me some insight into that and how you've brought them into your family journey here.
Yeah, so we wanted them to know how much we value life and how they are so valuable, and that they started out as embryos also. So we just took it down to the basic of how God uses a tiny piece of a mommy and a tiny piece of a daddy to make an embryo. And honestly, I feel like we realize in that process that we don't generally give our children enough credit, that they really can understand a lot. And when given to them in small bits, that's a developmentally appropriate, you know, understanding. And it really helped them kind of buy into the whole process and feel like they truly were a part of it. Because we said, you know, we're doing this as a family, and you guys are part of our family, and we're hoping to bring another little one into our family. And they were excited from the very beginning. And I think somehow they just knew that God was going to move in that.
Yeah. And again, I give Lauren all the credit for this, because she had researched and we had purchased some books and really started at a young age and from the beginning, getting them, you know, starting to think about the idea.
Yeah. And as much as I knew it was important to talk to Bowen from the very beginning about his story, so that it was just something he always knew and it wasn't different or weird. It was just his story. I just kind of thought, well, if it's important to talk to him about it from the very beginning, it's going to be important to talk to our biological children about it from the very beginning too, so that they don't think anything of it. It's just his story and part of their story.
Absolutely. Yeah, this guy just had a little bit different way of bringing him into the world. Still an image bearer just as much as anybody else. And I love how you put it. We all started out as embryos. That's for sure. That's a commonness, a connectedness that we all share. So yeah, a good journey, a hard journey for you two in a lot of ways. But a blessed result. So, I mean, are there more NEDC kids in your future possibly, or have you even thought about that yet?
Mark, we've started to bring up the subject. I'll be maybe a little clearer. Lauren has started to bring up the subject. I'm not ready to. I said, let's wait till at least the summer till we can get some clarity and maybe get out of maybe the very early baby stages where we can, where I'm thinking clear and have some more sleep and go through that process. We definitely will be discussing that more seriously here in the near future.
Yeah. And if anything I've learned from this whole journey, it's to trust that God's ways are best. So many times he's shown me that. And so ultimately, that's what I want. I just want what he wants for our family. And, you know, there are hard things either way. I feel like if our family is complete, that would be hard for me in a way. And if we decide to grow our family, that would be challenging in a way too. So I just trust what he wants is best and that he'll walk with us no matter what he has in the future. And we just are going to try to be open-handed like we've been the whole journey.
Open-handed and open-hearted. And God has crafted a beautiful story regardless of where it goes from here. We're so glad that he brought you two and your family our way. If you're listening to this and interested in finding out more about embryo adoption through the NEDC, it's embryodonation.org. That's the website where you can find out more. Just go to the adoption section. Again, embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger. This has been the Embryo Adoption Podcast.